I've got a title here for us that I believe the Lord has given for us to discuss. And we're going to call this teaching today, What Are You Doing With His Truth? What are you doing with His truth? Everybody in this world, to some degree, is looking for truth or wants the truth. And the more we delve into finding what is true or the truth, the more confusing it can become. You see, life is complex. Man is very complicated. The things of the world have fallen to such a degree that there is confusion over the world. And so there is this unrest in man looking for truth, because truth brings a rest, a peace to the mind, to the heart, to the soul. There's that searching within everyone, no matter what they say, or whether they say, I don't believe in God, or I'm an atheist, or whatever it would be. To conclude that you are an atheist or you don't believe in God still reveals that you've been searching, trying, asking questions, even if you come to that conclusion. So there is this searching for truth within each of us. And I want us to start off with this in Romans chapter 3 and verse 4. And I want to read part of this. And the Apostle Paul says something interesting here in verse 4 of Romans 3. He said, let God be true, but every man a liar. As it is written, that you may be justified in your words and may overcome when you are judged. So he's speaking here about justification. Is it by works? Is it by law? Is it circumcision? He's answering these questions because the Pharisees thought they were right. The religious people thought they were right. And the Apostle Paul and the disciples, when ministering, blood of Jesus. The Apostle Paul, when ministering, or the early church, the disciples, were constantly being attacked because those that were opposing them believed that they had the truth. And the apostle concludes within this, let God be true, but every man a liar. And that is where we start from. Because we start from that, we realize that we have to be taught truth. Our ears and eyes and heart have to be opened to truth. For the word of God clearly says that if you know the truth, then the truth shall set you free. So, do you want truth? Or are you going along with the crowd, with the narrative, because they feel safe with the numbers in agreeing? Because that is often how truth is displayed these days. It must be true because many are agreeing. The crowd are going along with it, so it must be true. It must be true. Look how many are agreeing. But Jesus said that narrow is the way, and few there be that find it. We are on a narrow path, brothers and sisters, with regard to truth and knowing the truth. You see, you have to search out the truth. And this is why we have to get into the Word. We have a prayer life. We seek the Lord. We come to the meetings. We hear the Word, because all of this is implanting into our soul, into our life, the truth. For Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. And the enemy does everything he can in which to oppose that. He doesn't want us having the truth. He will try and keep us away. Or he'll try and keep us away from the meetings. Do you know, one of the worst things a Christian is attacked with, not necessarily drugs, not necessarily sexual perversion or alcohol or all those things. The worst thing that a believer is attacked with is busyness. The enemy getting us to be busy, looking to other things, distractions from gaining and knowing the truth. That is the number one thing that he attacks the believer, those who want to go on in the deeper life, who want to grow and mature into sonship. You know that's true because you see yourself being attacked by this. I know it in my own life. And then I realize that I've got distracted, I've got caught up with other things, and the only way I can stop that is to say, enough, I'm doing no more, and withdraw. And turn my face, my heart, my attention back to what God wants me to do. That is the number one thing the enemy attacks. And we've got to stop playing his game, because he's robbing us of truth that sets us free, a truth that gets us to walk by faith and not by sight. You see, truth has never been determined by a vote. The whole world was wrong, but Noah was right when he said, repent, a flood is coming. God is going to destroy the world. They laughed at him. They didn't believe him. He was the only one out of a civilization who had truth. The rest of the crowd all went along because they were all agreeing, and just one man was looking insane. But there was the wisdom and mind of God. What does this tell us? When we look at Romans chapter 3, looking back to this, let's look at verses 9 to 18. 9 to 18, where it says, because of this, all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. What then? Are we better than they? Not at all. For we have previously charged both Jews and Greeks that they are all under sin, as it is written, there's none righteous, no, not one. There is none who understands. There is none who seeks after God. They have all turned aside. They have together become unprofitable. There is none who does good. No, not one. Their throats are an open tomb. Then their tongues, they have practiced deceit. The poison of asps is under their lips, whose mouth is full of cursing and bitterness. Their feet are swift to shed blood. Destruction and misery are in their ways. And the way of peace they have not known. There is no fear of God before their eyes. Why is that? Why is the apostle quoting this? Because they have no truth. They live a lie. You see, it's interesting that many times you will find yourself on your own with regard to truth. Have you ever experienced that? If you haven't, you will. You will find you're the only one who's believing, and they can oppose you. Why is this? Because they flock together. Birds of a feather flock together. And how true it is. It must be right, because look at the amount of us that are believing. And we've just read it here. None of them are right. All of them are blind. Noah built the ark by faith for 120 years with all the rest wondering what he's doing. But you see, they believed when it was too late, and the ark, the door of the ark closed, and they were desperate to get in to be saved. It was too late because they didn't hear that still small voice. And the way we train ourselves in truth and to hear is to have those times, that quality time before Almighty God. It's interesting that Moses, he was right, and Egypt was wrong, because Pharaoh was going to hold them. He wasn't going to let them go. And Moses went before him and he said, "Let my people go." One man against a nation, a despot. But look what happened. God released a nation out of bondage. That was a type of communist hold, fascist hold of its day. And God released that nation through one man who had the truth. Moses was right with regard to Israel in the wilderness, and told them to believe, to obey and trust God. But they would have none of it. And they said that he's wrong and we're going to stone him. Let's raise up another leader. Again, Moses, one man, right before a nation. And God gave them up and they perished. Israel was wrong, deceived by Jezebel, and there was only one prophet who was right, and that is Elijah, who stood alone. And he said, "Lord, I'm alone. I'm the only one that stands." But God said, "I've got 7,000 head." But he stood against this woman, controlling Israel, her husband, by witchcraft. Elijah was right. The religious teachers, the Pharisees, were wrong. And Jesus stood alone. Many times Jesus was misunderstood. Even the disciples didn't always understand him. They weren't standing fully with him. We know that when he was betrayed. Peter showed how he would not deny his Lord. He would die for him. Very heroic. And yet when it came to it, he fled. Jesus stood alone. Jesus stood alone before Pilate and all the crowd jeering, "Crucify him." Who was right? Was the crowd or was Jesus? This thread that I'm talking about runs right through the Bible, from Genesis to Revelation. What does the Word of God say? We know this very well in the Gospel of John. Let's look at the Gospel of John, chapter 1, verses 1 to 11. John, chapter 1. Verses 1 to 11. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. All things were made through him, and without him nothing was made that was made. In him was life, and the life was the light of men. And the light shines in darkness, and the darkness did not comprehend it. There was a man sent from God whose name was John. This man came for a witness, to bear witness of the light, that all through him might believe. He was not that light, but was sent to bear witness of that light. That was the true light, which gives light to every man coming into the world. So what is that light given to everyone? So that we might know the truth, that we can see. And he said, he was in the world, and the world was made through him, and the world did not know him. He came to his own, and his own did not receive him. But as many as received him, to them he gave the right to become the children of God, to those who believe in his name, who were born not of blood, nor of the will of flesh, nor the will of men, but of God. So there we are. Wonderful opening in the Word of God. All of that is that you might know the truth, and that the truth will set you free. You see, the crowd was absolutely united when they said, "Crucify him." You know, it's interesting that one of the most dangerous things that Christians can do is trade truth for collective truth. That is frightening. And Christians do it. It must be true. Look how many are believing. Be very careful with collective truth, where truth is, and don't be influenced. Many times, when you are seeking the truth about a situation, you have to go on your own before God. You certainly have to do that if you're in ministry and a pastor. When things maybe happen, or there are things that are said to you in the church with regarding something, or maybe a sinning member. I soon learnt that no matter how many are saying this, I need to go before God and hear from him. You learn that one in ministry if you truly are called. Because collective truth is not always the truth. And certainly where our Lord was crucified, they were all in agreement, "Crucify him." take him away. But he was the only one that was right. And thank God that he was, as we would not be in fellowship today, sharing this word. You see, if enough people believe it, it must be true. That's how politics works. That's how voting works. That's how the world works. It's got to be true. Look at the amount that are believing and going along with it. But it's not necessarily true at all. What does Revelation 13 verse 4 have to say about all of this? Because this is how the enemy is going to come. And the spirit of Antichrist, we know, is already with us. We're just waiting for the visible manifestation of the Antichrist, the false prophet. But praise God, the church will be caught away by then with the tribulation. But look what's happening. You see, we now have the development of AI. We have our computers. We have our phones. And we're all the while looking at them, looking on the internet. What we don't realize is that much of this technology controls what we look at and what we hear. And listen to what it says here in Revelation 13, and we'll take it up from verse 4. Where are we? 13, verse 4. So they worshipped the dragon who gave authority to the beast. And they worshipped the beast, saying, who is like the beast? Who is able to make war with him? And he was given a mouth, speaking great things and blaspheming. And he was given authority to continue for 42 months. And he opened his mouth in blasphemy against God to blaspheme his name and his tabernacle and those who dwell in heaven. Well, I believe this is being confirmed, that this is now technology, AI, beginning to take over and teach the world. You've now got your algorithms, and your algorithms are all watching each of us, influencing what we see, what we read, and so on. I've noticed on Instagram and also on other media how AI is beginning to teach now more and more. I produced a video over a month ago which has really gone out, and Lord has really used it, warning that Christians be on your guard, because it says that the beast, it blasphemes. What is it meaning by blasphemes? It's a counterfeit of the Holy Spirit. It's not the Holy Spirit illuming, teaching. This is coming from the enemy, the God of this world, influencing. He's trying to let the world, this is truth you are hearing through this technology, through AI, algorithms, Google, all these things that we become dependent upon. And this is going to sort out Christians who are being set free by the truth and those who are being deceived, who are not paying the cost. They will be taken in by this. I'm already seeing it online. I'm already hearing Christians praising God for an AI video or whatever it would be. And thank God there are a few on there warning them. Don't you know this is AI? This is not the Holy Spirit working. But they won't believe it. And do you know why? Because most go along with it. It says the world will be deceived by this. The world will agree with it. Education is using it more and more. Students are cheating in exams using it. You cannot get full truth from it. We can only receive the truth by the Spirit of God. This was the problem with Saul. He rebelled against God. God was no longer speaking to him anymore. And what did he do? He went to the witch of Endor. Totally unacceptable. God, children of Israel, were not to do that sort of thing. Go to the occult. But he did. That was desperation, because he wanted truth. And if you want the truth, you have to pay the cost for it. And Jesus reveals the cost of discipleship. And he says, narrow is the way for this truth. You are not going to get it off the internet. We love our technology. People love it because they can draw a knowledge from it. They don't have to work. They don't have to study. It's brought to them on a plate. Wow, that's exactly how the enemy works. You see? So the question is then, does God agree with me? Because on Judgment Day, God won't ask you what the crowd believed. He's going to ask you, what did you believe? Did you know the truth? And that is the question. And we have to stand with him, even if they all forsake us and they all turn away, which they did with Jesus. And it was only he and his Father at the end. Why did God the Father get Jesus completely on his own standing to face his execution? Because the others were a hindrance and got in the way. But God didn't give up on them, as we know. He drew them back after he was resurrected and forgave them and placed them back on that road for their ministry. That is the love and grace and long-suffering of God, that he doesn't give up on us, even though we veer off, we've listened to wrong things. The enemy is so vocal now. We are in the last days. These are the times now of which we must look up, because our redemption is drawing nigh. We're to look away from this world. It's lies. It's a mirage. It's deception. And I know what a mirage looks like. I've been in the Sahara Desert. And I've seen, you know, that shimmer, that heat. And suddenly you think, wow, look at that lake out there. Amazing, there's water out in this desolate place. And as you get nearer, you realise it isn't. It's a mirage. It isn't truth. No, we stand with him even if we are alone. You see, most people don't want the truth. They want agreement. They want you to agree with them. But you see, truth has never been determined by crowds, as the Word of God clearly reveals. When God raised these saints, these prophets of old, as I've shown you, many of them stood on their own for truth when persecuted. And we know with our end time message of faith and the deeper life, it's only a few that embrace this. Even on the internet, and the word is going out, and we've had the latest count, we've had over 100,000 looking what we're writing, what's going out, which I believe to the four corners of the earth. But it's probably a handful who respond, or who will write, or who will come back and say, praise God, amen to that. I cannot be deterred. I cannot be sidetracked by any of that. I have to know that this is truth, and this truth must go forth, the deeper life, even if none of them believe. You see, God, as I close with this, he was dealing with me in my early days of ministry. He was revealing to me how few will follow this. And as I was called to minister in a town, we hired the hall, and for a year we had a lot when it first started, and it finally dwindled down to one person. And that one person who loved the Lord couldn't come because she was having health problems. And God said, you continue to go and you preach the truth. And even the caretaker couldn't work out what was going on. He was confused. But then that meeting when I did preach, no one turned up. God said, you have stayed with the truth. You see, these are the things you learn. And it is amazing how it builds you up in the faith. You wax stronger and bolder. Why do I say that? Because the truth is setting you free. And the truth that was with Christ was able to stand in his weakness, yet boldness at his betrayal, when all of them said in agreement, crucify him. And they did. But look what the truth did. It raised him from the dead. And seated now, triumphant at the right hand of the Father. That's why we've been teaching this today. What are you doing with his truth? Notice it's his truth. For whom the Son sets free, we are free indeed. And if God is revealing the truth to you, you are mightily blessed. For that is where your soul, your heart, your being finds rest, finds clarity, peace, vision. You know where you are going. You know what you are hearing is right. It builds such a spiritual boldness and confidence within us that we can stand in these last days when most are all following the crowd, because they must be right. But Jesus said, narrow is the way, and few there be that find it. Bless you all. Thank you again for fellowship, for your time. I trust that it has helped. It has been an encouragement, because I know at times there's a cost for staying with the truth, and some don't want to stay with us any longer. But you are pleasing to the Lord, and this is what glorifies God. So we are mightily blessed, are we not?